Welcome back to Truck Tech, everyone. This week, we're going to spend some time in the trailer business. We're going to bring on in just a moment Brett Yeagy, the president and chief executive officer of Wabash, used to be known as Wabash National. We'll get even into the sort of the renaming, if you will. I don't know if it's a full rebranding, but we'll get into the renaming with Brent. We'll talk about what's happening in the industry now. We'll talk about their approach to some of the perhaps different ways to smooth out some of the highs and lows in the equipment business. And we'll also talk about, because this is Truck Tech, we'll talk about Econex, which is their cold chain solution. And we'll look forward to doing that. Brett Yeagy, welcome to Truck Tech. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Alan. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, we've been caught up in a while. I think the last time we were on screen together, I was trying to move or something and the house was empty and you and I were there. You weren't with me, but I knew where I was. Anyway, good to catch up. I think it's worth noting, you know, from your most recent earnings call, you sort of talked about three themes. You mentioned connections, relationships, and networks. Can you unpack those a little bit and how they had a direct impact on the business in 2023?
Sure. So, I mean, Alan, one of the things we looked at as late as, say, 4 or 5 years ago was just the changing nature of logistics, the amount of technology that was really rolling in, and the dynamics that were being created. And what we really felt is that for our brand to really maximize the value that it gives to our customers, we had to deepen our understanding of what their needs are. We had to deepen our knowledge and awareness and interactions with those technology providers. But then we also had to connect them, right? Because the problems are so big, the technology is so impactful and innovative that no two parties can solve those things together. We think it takes an ecosystem approach to be able to do it. And Wabash has a brand, it has a convening authority that we've established in the industry that we can bring those parties together. And by doing that, we think we can solve our customer solutions faster, in a deeper, more higher probability way.
You had to make some decisions along the way too, because in the last decade, you acquired some sort of a first and last mile type of activity. Now, I think one of the slogans that you've used is first to last mile. You know, but you had to sort of integrate some things and go through some teething pains or growing pains with those businesses.
Right.
And then ultimately, I think you took the business down to sort of two units. It's, you know, it's all products and it's services, right? Or after
parts and services. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, you simplified things a bit. I think you maybe got rid of one tanker business. Is that right?
We divested a couple businesses.
Yeah. And so ultimately, you brought together what you thought was going to address what you just said, I presume, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, having the pieces to do your part of this. Explain a little bit more if you could. I mean, it's one thing I think, you know, almost every CEO would say, you know, we've got to understand our customer better. The ecosystem, though, also gets into sort of a different look at how the equipment business is done, right? And,
right.
You know, you can help with that.
Yeah, sure. So it really came down to, as a new CEO, evaluating the strategy of the company that had been previously in place. Was it appropriate for how we best thought we should march forward? Previous strategy was much more about becoming more of a diversified industrial manufacturer, not necessarily, you know, primarily focused on transportation, logistics, or distribution. We evaluated, you know, how we should best go forward, going back to what I said earlier, the nature of the problems that are emerging within logistics, the amount of technology moving in. We really thought Wabash and the brand could carry much stronger if we focused. And, you know, focused is everything when you want to make results. If we focus specifically on transportation, logistics, and distribution, we would do better as a company. We'd do better as a group of employees, and ultimately we'd serve customers better. And so we divested companies that did not fit that strategy. We did that very quickly because we wanted to establish focus immediately inside our four walls so that we could carry the strategy forward.
Sure. Well, you know, I guess there's validation because your shares are up about 108%. I imagine that's probably changed since I looked it up, but over the last 5 years. And, it, you know, a lot of that includes the time you were spent, you know, making over the business. But it also includes the crater that, you know, a lot of manufacturing businesses fell into during the early days of the pandemic. So what do you attribute most of that growth to? What did you, how did, was it telling the story or was it, you know, real results? What was it? A little both?
Well, it's both. I mean, I think anytime you can talk to an investor base with a strategy that caters to your strengths, that you can identify market forces and trends that are undeniable, that will allow you to succeed. When you're able to look at an industry overall that is poised for continued growth, and then you demonstrate that you're actually acting on it. You're deploying capital at a higher rate. Capital is focused in areas that, you know, people believe and can trust, higher probability are going to create value for Wabash. And then you actually do it and the results start to come through. It's all parts, right? It's how you tell the story. It's doing what you said you're going to do. And it's backing it up with the investment that's required to make it happen.
We talked a couple of years ago, maybe it's just a year ago around Veterans Day because of your military background. You obviously know a lot about the value of team building. You've already alluded to it in this call or this discussion. What lessons from your past have you rolled out to the employees at Wabash? I mean, what is it that you tell them and what is it that you want to see, I guess?
Well, look, some people think it's touchy-feely or soft, but I think really rallying around purpose of why you're doing what you're doing, the mission, right? Really understanding what we're trying to achieve, right? Not in detail, but clearly understanding what we're doing right now. You know, just, you know, our first to final mile strategy really caters to our mission, right? And then trying to outline the principles and the values that come to bear. And we really took a fresh look and took an alternative view for what those should be for Wabash. And we talk about those constantly, right? Some of our values and principles, right? We want to win together. We want to have a growth mindset. Really basic things that enable how we think our strategy most comes to life. And we can't talk about it enough. And we couple that with mission so that everyone understands the big picture of what we're trying to do, right? We don't have to tell everyone how. If they adhere to the values, if they practice the principles and they go in direction of the mission, we can be successful. We can go faster. We're more aligned. And, you know, maybe before I was saying in the past, maybe it was a little bit more micromanaged. We can't do that and go fast. We can't go big. And we don't empower people. We can't engage. And we've really tried to practice that. If we can engage people with purpose, they can do wonderful things.
Yeah. One of the people I noticed very recently, I had met him a few years ago, and I think he's one of your stars. I think you just made him chief operating officer, is Dustin Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin's been around a while. I don't know if he predates you there or not. But
I think he's around, right around 15 years. And I'm 21, okay. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's somebody that you've now put in a day-to-day operations role. I mean, he's already had those, but, you know, how does picking those people, you know, sort of get this done better for you?
Yeah. Well, since I became CEO, we've turned over the entire C-suite of the company, every position. And we have done that primarily with people that were Wabash people. All right. That's who we put in place. People that were part of creating the strategy, who had deep connections to who we are as an organization, who wanted to win for the people of Wabash, who knew our customers, and they knew what we needed to do to be better, to be great. And that's who I want to surround myself with. And that's what we did. And that allows us to make bolder, quicker, faster decisions when you're all playing the same game. I think it's imperative.
You know, I've watched for a couple of years as you have rolled out and you've announced a few of the partners for these longer term agreements. And it's interesting because, you know, this is such a roller coaster business. I mean, you have up cycles, down cycles. You kind of follow what happens with power units to a point. I mean, you know, but trailers, I guess, are a little bit different. you've tried to smooth out some of those bumps now. Can you talk about that and how well that's been received, especially on the longer term contract arrangements?
Right.
You know, you said, and I remember you were pretty firm about it. It's like, look, if you want to do business with us for more than, you know, the next couple of quarters, then we're listening, but the rest of you get in line. And I'm paraphrasing here, Brad. Yeah. You can say it exactly like
yeah,
that.
But I there's multiple parts to that, Alan. I think first, it started much more about who we are as a company and how we thought we should interact both with our supply chain and our customers. We had to move away from a transactional way. We had to think about how do we create deeper, longer term relationships in the way that we actually do business together. And if we thought if we could do that, we could create better value for both parties. But we had to change the nature of the conversation, right? And we had to do it in a way that had sticking power. So, and we wanted to do it in a way that how we wanted to be treated, right? On either from a supply base or a customer. What do we want to be? We don't have to be and have the same relationships in the same way that the industry has done for 30 years. That's part of being a visionary leader, is trying to do bold things to be different. So when we talk to the customer base, there are customers that have different profiles, different strategic needs that are much more bullish on growth, where they wanted something other than just a transactional process. They wanted to know that they had access to capacity in a much more deliberate, purposeful way so that they could grow and meet their public commitments to scale in a higher probable manner. And Wabash has that ability. The brand carries that. And once we were able to move forward with that, with those customers, it's not every customer by any means, but there's a handful that relationship can exist. And when you can do that, you can go to your supply base and say, I can level your schedule out, right? As a result, I have known backlog. I am managing this. I can take some level of cyclicality out of your demand, and they saw the value in it. And so when you're talking about Hydro, Ryerson, Rockland Flooring, they also happen to be three of the most scarce commodities when the business begins to accelerate. I can take that back to my customer and say, because you committed to me, I can get this. I just increased your odds of getting access to capacity earlier in the market upturn. You will make more money. And they're like, hey, that
here's
works.
Here's the question that comes with that is, how come nobody figured that out before you did? Not that what was holding people back from doing that?
You got to choose that you're not going to have a transactional relationship. You got to choose that everybody has to win. Right. And you have to work to find value beyond a price. That's how you have to do it. And it takes a different way of thinking. And you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to create trust that may not exist in a typical relationship, right? When it's transactional, it had to start inside our own company. We had to be different to be trustworthy in that way. We had to show it. We had to be the vulnerable party on both ends, either to the supplier or to the customer. Not everyone's wired to do that.
Where's the risk in that approach? There obviously is some.
Well, the risk is we have to be selective. It doesn't fit every supplier. It doesn't fit every customer. If we try to make it bigger than it is, then it will lose the value proposition. It will confound the process, and we will be unable to create the value that we promised on either part. So slow is fast. And being deliberate is everything in the way that you do it. Even if it's a great idea, it doesn't mean that you should just apply it to everything.
Is part of this the trailer pool approach that you're taking as well, pooling trailers and that sort of thing? Is that part of it? Or is that
the idea of creating value in different ways beyond the transactional nature of buying an asset applies to everything that we do. Now, when we think about trailer pools are an emerging customer segment that we think have the ability of have sticking power and scale if they're enabled properly. And we think it solves certain aspects of network inefficiency that have been growing over the last 5 years, right? That makes it interesting. But you don't solve it doing it the same old way. You actually have to come up with a bold, innovative way that gives them what they need. And what they don't need assets that are on their books. What they need is access to capacity, agile capacity. They don't have maintenance capability. They don't have, and I can keep going. But if they can have that in a more on-demand, agile way, they have the ability of paying a premium for it.
So it's an as-a-service, basically.
It's as a service, right? And it can be tailored to the nature of how you want your capacity.
We didn't spend time on the financials. You had a big year in 23. You actually beat your 2025 EPS estimate. I think it says here 39%. You say you can build on that. And yet we are seeing, you know, even as you have got a lot more capacity for dry van now, we're seeing that trending lower. How do your efforts at these longer contracts smooth that out? Is that helping? In other words, you've got, I think it's 10,000 units of capacity in a plant that used to make 5,000 reefers, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Is this helping?
Absolutely. So we have a very simple way we explain it to investors: higher highs, higher lows. We're not going to remove all cyclicality by the nature of what we're doing in any near term measure, but we can reduce it. And little moments or little periods of time and cyclicality reduction, just relatively moderate levels, have tremendous impact from a financial standpoint. When you couple that with the restructuring of the balance sheet over the last 3 years to be the strongest it's ever been, when you can create more stable pricing during periods of downturn, when you have the ability of really partnering with customers that will outperform the market during periods of, call it a freight recession, because they have scale that they must continue to grow on, that makes you a more resilient company, which allows us to continue to reinvest at levels in our business that far exceed the industry norm. That's a winning combination.
Right. So even as we do see, you know, you've said, I think that you do not see the freight recession, which we clearly have been in, continuing through the end of the year. You think that straightens itself out?
Yeah, I think everything we see right now, both from a time phase and I'll call it early indicators, line up with what we believe would be an improvement in that. And I think we're on par with what we think the I'll call it third party forecasters in that 12 to 15% range at this stage in 2025. And we think it'll hit in the early part of 2025, as early as the first quarter. Everything we see lines up to it, whether it be the bottom out of spot, port activity, reduction in capacity, and some resiliency in retail inventories, as well as at the manufacturing base.
Sure. Let's spend the rest of our time on technology. After all, I do call this truck tech. So, you know, maybe we'll just go there. A couple of things. One that I didn't sort of preview for you, but I'm curious your take on it. There's a very small movement now towards electrified trailers. That is, you know, batteries to... one of the companies is spending a fair amount of time and, you know, attracting a little bit of investment, that kind of thing. What's your take on that? Obviously, the batteries add some weight and take away maybe a little bit of capacity in the trailer. But what do you think of things like that as we get to more of an electric-driven, you know, power units?
Well, I think the fundamental technology, reasoning is sound. I believe that we have an appropriate amount of R&D and R&D support for some of our technology partners to move forward with this type of initiative. However, we have a lot of work to do. The industry has a lot of work to do to make that at what I would call an economically viable solution. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. And we have to take everything from total system reliability, acquisition cost, total weight add, total reliability, all those things are still to be achieved to make it possible. And I also think that you have to be pretty square with yourself as to what are the right applications for it to be used. And I think that they do exist. And I think we have to, as the technology gains steam and reliability, we can broaden those use applications over time. But I wouldn't sit here and say I see a large what I call acceptance and scale over the next 24, 36 months. I'm not seeing it.
Right. Well, I think they still, you know, there's still some work to do, as you said.
Tremendous.
And, you know, this is the kind of thing, I mean, you know, you've have divested, but you've also acquired over time. You know, these kind of businesses, if they prove out, and I think of some examples in the powertrain space, which, you know, isn't really yours, but, you know, if it proves out and they do the research and they do the development, then, you know, is something like that a good acquisition target? And I'm not even naming names here, but,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, our M&A, I'll call it funnel and pipeline, is always looking at what are emerging technology partners that make sense being under the Wabash portfolio. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be just M&A. Sometimes it's through strategic partnerships, whether it's, you know, if you know, we have the Fernway engagement to build our digital platform, which is just an alternative to doing a true M&A type activity, as well as the partnership that we have with HTI for our parts operational scale. We could have done that as an acquisition. We chose to do it as a strategic partnership. It's all about advancing faster in a capital effective way to broaden the scale of the business.
Yeah. Let's wrap up on Econex. I want to understand, you know, Little Falls, Minnesota, which is interesting as a place. That's what's happening with Econex now in terms of its growth and where it lands first as far as the reefer alternative now, or your approach to reefer.
Yeah. Well, we are, Econex continues to give us more opportunities and capabilities the more that we understand it and what its true capabilities and benefits are. For those that don't know, it's Econext is a structural composite material that has very interesting thermal properties as well as lighter weight as compared to conventional building materials. And typically, we've talked about that in the context of refrigerated trailers. What we found is that it may even have more interesting, more near-term applications in our truck body business, which is an acquisition that we did in 2017 when we purchased the assets of Supreme. We're finding that the truck body market has a very high potential to be a significant area of growth for Econext. We're also looking at it with, we'll call it some targeted applications in other modes of transportation, rail and other, that we think that its structural characteristics have potential. And we're kind of looking through all these opportunities right now to best utilize the capacity, that significant capacity that we've installed in that Little Falls plant. And the more that we can diversify its application, the better cost profile coming into the business, and ultimately we can grow and leverage that technology in a more profitable way. So that's the way we talk about it with our investors and internally, is that we really want to broaden the use of Econext through multiple transportation and industrial applications because it really has that potential.
What are the first products sort of in market with Econext right now? What do you have some trailers out there now?
Yeah, so we have 53-foot refrigerated vans that are out. We've had those out for approximately 5 years. We've increased scale each and every year. We are building light and medium duty truck bodies with Econext. We have some proprietary box designs that we have with, I can't name names, but with very specific applications to facilitate very interesting logistics models, specifically in the, I'll call it, middle and final mile cold chain market. And then we have multiple prototypes and proof of concepts in rail, building construction. So we have Econext in all these places.
Okay, real good. Well, Brad, this has been great. Good catch up for us, you know, for the audience here at Truck Tech, and really appreciate you giving us the time today. Thank you.
Great, Alan. Always a pleasure with you.
Well, folks, this is the week then that we're going to spend on trailers. We're going to talk, we're talking, of course, and have talked about Wabash's business and, you know, both from a technology and a finance side and in terms of how the business gets built. Appreciate Brett stopping by and spending some time with us. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.